Scott Sherman's here. He's here to help you. He's here to answer your questions, give you advice, tell you to email him so he can put you in touch with the right person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to give you the numbers, and if you're smart, you'll call right now. And then there's no chance that you won't get in if you call now. 855-282-8255. I'll do that again. 855-282-8255. Or, see, smart people are calling. Or 314-821-0590. Please welcome Scott Sherman.
Thank you, Frank.
A pretty applause.
Hey, guess what?
Chicken butt, 5 cents a cut, dipped in grease. Want a piece?
You bet. 4 years.
It has been four.
This is it. The first
this month? Yes,
the
this
first
month?
Week in August.
Really?
The first Thursday in August.
Wow.
Sorry,
I didn't
2015.
Even,
this
I did
is
not,
the day.
This is our,
I've been working for you for 2 years now, this believe
is our,
it or not.
Yeah. Oh, that started in August.
Yeah.
This is our anniversary month. You lie me. You and I. Mm-hmm. And Scott, our anniversary.
Four.
And Tim, our anniversary will be October 2nd. That's the day we started.
What? Sorry. What are you going to get me?
Nothing.
Personal air conditioning system so we can close the
a
door.
A continued opportunity to come in here and have fun. That's what you get.
I learned two things about the court system today, Scott, at age 50 that I did not know.
No pocket knives?
No, I already knew that.
Yes.
Number one, I didn't know that if you get a judgment in a small claims action, you cannot place a lien on somebody's real estate with that.
That's correct.
I didn't know that.
Now you do.
Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's a lawyer.
All right, just asking. Secondly, if you win a judgment in small claims court,
yes,
and you don't like the judge's ruling, even if you win and you request a trial de novo,
yes,
it can take up to a year for that trial to be scheduled.
I didn't know it'd take that long, but I knew it would take longer than you wanted.
They only have one judge in the entire St. Louis County Courthouse that hears trial de novos, and the clerk says that his docket is full, and she doesn't know when it's going to open up, and to manage my expectations, ballpark, maybe a year.
That's funny because I asked a judge and that person did not know how long it was going to take.
When they say the wheels of justice turn slowly, most people have no idea how slowly. It's unbelievable. Right.
And trial de novo means basically trial start over. Just
right.
Fresh start trial.
Right.
Should have taken the deal you had.
No, it was ridiculous.
I think we all knew that. Didn't you know that, Limey? Trial de novo.
So I had no idea.
No, say yes.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
We knew that.
Yeah.
Dan knew it, too, but he's on the phone talking to people.
He knew
the regulars are coming.
Mm-hmm. All the lines are tied up, but here's the deal, folks. The way this works, when Scott helps somebody and they bail, line is open. One more time for the numbers, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Holding the longest and going first would be Mike. Mike, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I got one simple question, I think, but I don't know the answer to it. And are anybody other than U.S. citizens protected by our Constitution, if they're living in this country, are... You know, is there any protection in the Constitution for non-U.S. citizens?
That is a great question, especially with what's going on now. That's a good question.
I can think of some constitutional rights that are due process under the Fifth Amendment. That does apply to non-citizens that are charged with crimes that occur in this country. I believe the Sixth Amendment, right to counsel, I think is one. Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment. So I think some of those are.
So they do get the benefits.
Some.
Of some.
Yeah. The 14th Amendment is not. Or a lot of those aren't.
Obviously, they can't vote. They're not citizens. They can't purchase a gun. They're not citizens.
I think there's some limited First Amendment free speech rights, but that not only is a great question because I don't know exactly the answer, but it's a great question because I've thought of that myself and need to look that up. So, but on immigration, it's no, except for due process. So the same rights that people have as citizens on, you know, whether being deported or whether they're being, some kind of deprivation of some kind of right, those things don't trigger for non-citizens as a general rule. But the Fifth Amendment does, the due process clause. So a lot of the procedural stuff, hey, how come you can't just grab somebody and throw them in a burlap sack and throw them back over the river? That stuff you can't just do because of court rulings on the...
Mike, did you have a specific right, constitutional right you wanted to ask about?
No, that was it. I just
Second Amendment, they wouldn't have. I mean, a lot of these have to do with
citizenship, because it states in there that any U.S. citizen can, and then blah, blah, blah.
That's right. But for, like, let's say somebody they're from, you know, let's say they're from Poland or something, and somebody charges them with holding up a liquor store. You can't just throw them in prison. They get due process.
Okay, that's good to know. All right, Mike, anything else? Is that it?
No, that's it. That's all I had. That answered my question.
I'll come back with more next week. I like this a little project for me, so thank you.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I appreciate it. I'll be listening in. Right.
Mike, your last name is not Stallone. Is it? You sound a little bit like Sylvester Stallone. Mike Stallone? That's not your last name, right? No, he does. He sounds like that, could be in a
Mike
movie
was on the trip with us.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, from Cape Girardeau.
Okay. Oh, I didn't realize until now, just hearing you.
Got a little bit of that, dude. It's the guy that calls everybody cuz.
Gangster thing going there.
Hey, brother.
Oh, is he the guy that calls everybody cuz?
How you doing?
Yeah,
how you doing? Yeah, cuz. Well, cuz was the other one.
Oh,
boy,
I remember. He even looks like a gangster. Cuz. I remember Mike.
Don't say gangster.
Yeah.
Cuz and Mike.
Mike, thank you for the call.
Good fella.
Appreciate it.
We'll see you then. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye now. Is Bruce next? Yep. Yeah, Bruce, you're next. You're up. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman. Thanks for taking my call, and I'm aiming to be him.
Thank you.
Scott, I've got myself in a tussle. I have been in the same place, same business, and renting from them for 14 years. The property went into bankruptcy, and management team switched all over. They just bought it out of bankruptcy, the new people, the new owners, and they're trying to raise my rent 20%. Is that possible? I mean, my rent's coming up end of October, so I'm signing another lease with them, but that would just put me almost out of business. Yep. And I know that they're negotiating a deal right next to me because the building's been empty on the other half, and they're giving them $14 a square foot, and they want $23 out of mine.
Can I try this?
Yes.
They can do anything they want to do. It's theirs now, but I would look. You just said the next door neighbor, that business is negotiating. I'd negotiate with them too. I would not just cave and go, okay, here's 20% more, 10% more, whatever. But yeah, they could do 50 if they wanted to. Scott, am I right?
I'm with Frank. On the old deal, they can't change it, but the one coming up, the new lease, those terms are up for negotiation. You really have a business problem more than a legal problem. But if you're looking for someone who is skilled and experienced with negotiating these sort of triple net leases, these commercial leases that have CAM charges and square footage charges. If you'll send me an email, I have a person that pretty much what he's done most of his career is deal with landlord-tenant issues and leases. And the best thing to do is instead of just signing the thing, negotiate with them, use the leverage that you have, if you have it, and see if it's cost beneficial for you to have an intermediary to take some of the emotion out of it. And see if you can get that $23 a square foot down closer to your neighbor at 14. And if not, make a business decision on where else you can go.
Yeah, it's going to cost me too much to move. That's the problem.
Don't tell them that on the radio, because then you have no negotiating. Tell them, you know what, I got six other places and it might be trouble, but, I'll figure it out. Or you can stay where you are because it would be more beneficial.
But let me ask you this. How hard do you think it would be for them to bring a new tenant in there?
Well, they're going to have to spend, they got to knock all the walls down, bring it back to, open space.
And they don't want to do that either.
No, but he's negotiating super hard. I've been on the phone with him twice today, and he's like, I'm not moving from that price, and you can just move.
What a jerk.
He's not negotiating in good faith at all, so I'm just like at a wit's end with myself right now. So,
well, do you have a week or so? When is this coming up?
I got a month and a half.
Right. Send me an email. I'll give you the person's name I want you to talk to. They're coming back from out of town next week, and you guys talk and see if you can, sort of have somebody to do that. Frank's right. This is about leverage. It's about negotiating. It's about options. And in the end, it really should be about money. And I'm no landlord, but if I didn't have to do a build-out and I got a happy tenant, I can always find somebody else to come in and pay more. I'd rather keep you, even if took less.
That's how I feel, too.
I'm wondering if he would do. How long was your previous lease? 3 years, 5 years, 1 year?
It was 5 years, and I'm even willing to tell him I'd sign an 8 year, and he's still going on.
Here's what I'd do. I'd sign one, and I'd do with the option at an increased price. That way you buy some time, and then he buys some time before he has to redo it for somebody else. If you said, look, for a year, let's go with this increase, which is half what you want, and then after that, we'll step it up. That way, what you're really doing is buying yourself some time to figure out something else out. You're not going to stay with him.
That's smart. Is he stuck on years? How many years is this guy stuck on?
No, he's not stuck on years. He's just stuck on taking my.
Frank's right. Rent. If you have some pain for a year, at least you don't interrupt your operation and you can start looking around, because commercial real estate in today's market is good for the renter. It's not filled up. There's so many places that are doing things remotely. Brick and mortar operations are going by the wayside, and there are tons of commercial real estate people looking for tenants. You just haven't looked.
Yeah, he's either messing with you, knowing he can bluff you and scare you, or when you back him up to the wall, he's going to cave a little. And I don't know the guy, so I don't know which it is. But I think the solution for both of them would be do a one-year deal and start looking.
And give my guy a chance to step in and see, take his temperature and see, because it's going to keep you up at night if you listen to how this sausage is going to be made. It's just ugly listening to.
All right, Bruce.
I appreciate it very much. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you for the call. Now the next caller, Brian. Do you mind? No, I really want to kind of talk to Brian. Brian, do you mind if I tell people how I know who you are?
No, go ahead.
Okay. But I want to tell two stories. I want to tell the typical Dan Strauss. On the yard sale, Brian was the guy who generously donated $4,000 to go to dinner with me and my wife and his wife, Beth. Was that her name, right?
Yeah.
We had a wonderful dinner, and he gave $4,000 to Win the World for St. Jude. Wow. So Dan tells me they sell a watch on the yard sale.
I
thought, I met Brian, dinner with Brian. I know Brian likes nice watches, a collection of watches. I said, was the guy that sold the watch, was his name Brian? Here's exactly what Dan said. No, his name wasn't Brian. I know that. It wasn't Brian.
No, his name wasn't.
He said
Brian.
That to me just Tuesday. I said, was his name Brian? No, it wasn't Brian.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
Here it is.
No, I don't remember.
I wrote it down. It's right here. Brian.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know it's Brian. It's just that Dan said, and he didn't say it like, I don't think. No, he said, no, it wasn't Brian.
Is that the Panaway watch?
Yeah, it started with it. Yeah, what was it? What was that watch?
Oh, it's Panerai.
Panerai. I've never heard of that watch. But anyway, great. Thank you for calling the yard sale. And here's a testimonial for the yard sale. He sold a watch for $4,000. So, yeah, there you go. So, Brian,
You said the A word.
What A word?
You said, but anyway, and I got you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of jumped right
if I said
it,
you should have gotten me.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you have for Scott?
Yeah, and the irony is I'm not made of money. But so I had told Scott this Saturday, but remember the trampoline thing I told you about?
Yeah.
For Frank?
Yeah.
There's a lady at my wife's work, and her neighbor came by and introduced himself and said, hey, your backyard's perfect for a trampoline for my family. Would you mind if I put a trampoline in your backyard?
Are you kidding me?
No,
are
I'm
you
not,
kidding?
Not. It's unbelievable. So,
I cannot.
So,
wow, that takes some stones, doesn't it?
Yeah,
can we put a trampoline in your backyard?
Yeah, I mean, I told Scott it's probably because it's in St. Charles County. This whole incident in St. Charles County. So it's escalated a little bit. But so Scott, the guy has been walking in our backyard and measuring over the last three
weeks. Hold on a second. Is it you he asked if you could put the trampoline in your yard?
No. It's a friend of, it's my wife's coworker.
And did they not say no?
She said, no, don't ever come over to my house.
And he's still measuring? Call the police.
He's trespassing.
Yeah, call the police. He's still coming and measuring, and she said, no, I would absolutely call the police, and I'd get a restraining order. And that'll scare him. That'll get his attention. No.
Yeah, so that was my question on her behalf, I guess, because she called the police, and they just told her, we need to catch him in the backyard, so next time just take some pictures.
Yeah, exactly.
And catch him in the backyard, but... She's just scared she's going to come home from work one day and there's going to be like kids in her backyard with a trampoline.
Well, if there is, you take a hacksaw and you cut
then
it into a million pieces.
Then you call the police.
They tear it up.
Have every one of those children arrested.
And by the way,
knowing St. Charles would probably tase them.
Huge liability for them if a kid gets hurt. No, I'd cut that thing into about 15,000 pieces and call the police and get a restraining order because, that's insane.
And just, a camera, video camera pointed at the backyard, capture it, charge them.
Wow, this guy's creepy.
Yeah, they're
this
weird.
This is a simple case, but I just thought it would be amusing to go into on the show because they had never met before. The guy's a new, he just moved in, and he introduced himself to her. She's a single mom, and said, hey, I've moved in next door, and your backyard would be perfect for a trampoline for my kids.
That is, wow. People really have some nerves, yeah, don't they?
It would be great to have that address and send them a letter. Stay out of my client's backyard.
So do you not agree a restraining order will
I think that video and the police and they charge him with trespassing.
You need to tell them to post a sign, too, like you did the caller last week, because you're not trespassing unless you're told not to trespass.
Well, the fence is really the sign, but I would be fine, no trespassing. But, you know, it's sort of assumed that the fence, there's a fence. Is there a fence?
Yeah, no, and it's in St. Peter's. There is a fence, yeah, there is a fence.
Well, yeah, that sort of presumes this is not yours. No. It's sort of assumed you don't really have to shouldn't have to put, or everyone would have to put a no trespassing sign in their backyard.
Now, this woman, she's a single parent, and she's scared to death of this guy.
And if she is afraid of him and he won't do it, then, yeah, a restraining order. That would be great. Can't come within 500 feet of my house. Then you have to move.
Yeah, the whole thing is this is going to cost her money, and she doesn't mind.
It shouldn't cost her anything.
Well, it'll cost her money to put the camera up, but
no, it won't. You know what a trail cam costs? Nothing. $40. You go to Cabela's or somewhere. They use them all the time to capture images of deer.
Write the letter for nothing. This is like a community service project. So tell her I'll write the letter for nothing if she wants me to write the letter.
No, seriously, I do appreciate it. Yeah. I'll buy her a camera, but all of this is real, and it's stunning. I've never heard of anything this in my life like this. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, Brian.
Anyway, sorry, I said it.
Anyway.
I set the tone. We'll, so. All right, thank you, Brian. Thank you, Brian. Now, here's an interesting... We have two lines open, and that shouldn't be, because now we have one, and Brian's gone. We have two. We don't fill them up. We close it out. But that would be a shame, because a lot of people need help. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Guy, welcome to 590 The Fan. You're on with Scott Sherman. Say hello to Scott.
Hello, Scott. I'm in the PM.
Hey, buddy.
And I'm a yard sale contestant, and also First Community Credit Union.
Well, thank you.
Member.
Thank you.
Here's what's going on. I work on lawnmowers on the side for different friends and stuff, and I got this one guy that's got a lawn service, and he brought some equipment over to me, and the engine's one seized up on his blower, and the chainsaw is almost seized up. And a while back, a lady I had down the street from me, her weed eater locked up. They're all using the pre-mixed gasoline stuff that you buy in the can in the stores. And I'm just wondering if there's any recourse we could do, if we could find out if there's other people's had this problem and see if we, because the stuff's getting the engines too hot and lock up these engines.
Well, no, these are two cycle motors, all of them, right?
Right. They're all two cycle engines.
Are you telling me you can buy pre-mixed gas and oil? I didn't know that. I always did it myself. I didn't know you could buy a pre-mix. And if the ratio is wrong, which it probably is, it's 41, should be 51. No, because the people probably shouldn't be putting in it what they're putting in it. My answer is no. They shouldn't be using it, because you tell me, you're the mechanic. Why would they be seizing up like that? It's not the quality of the gas, not the quality of the oil. It's the ratio is wrong. That one size fits all thing doesn't work for all those two cycle motors, right?
Well, I don't believe it's gasoline. I think it's some sort of alcohol or something that's getting the engines too hot. But it says on the cans that it's made for all two-cycle lawn equipment, you know, weed eaters, blowers, and stuff like that.
Well, if it says on the can it's made for all of them, then yeah. But, boy, good luck going after them, Scott.
Guy, get a picture from your clients of the stuff that they're using, the mixed oil-gas product. I'll look into it with my class action friends and see if they put a product on the market that's specifically designed for a pre-mixed gas and oil for two-stroke engines. Is that what this is?
Yeah.
Two-cycle engines.
I have a question. Then, Guy, have you gone online to Google to see if there have been any other complaints about it? And you put in the name of that product? Because if this is something that truly is tearing these things up, it's not just going to be the people you're dealing with. It's going to be all over the country.
Well, yeah, because I deal with a few friends.
Yeah, but I would look to see if this is a problem across the country.
I'll do it. Stuff. Send me a picture of the can or the bottle of the stuff they're using, so we don't get the wrong product. And I'll look into it and see if this is a national thing.
I'll bet you somewhere on that container it says not suitable for certain two sites. I would bet you money.
Wouldn't it be great if it didn't?
Yeah, if it didn't, you got something. Guy, do you know Scott's email address?
I sure do. LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
Yeah, I could tell by the way he said, I sure do. He was confident. He did know it. That's
exactly
right.
One of our great
right.
yard sale yeah. listeners.
Shoot him an email, Guy, okay?
I sure will, as soon as I get the picture from the guy that has the lawn service.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Now, a line opens right now. He just hung up. That line is open. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Gary, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Gary. How you doing?
Great. I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you.
So this is the weirdest question. A pretty expensive house in Frontenac. It's a $1 million house. And had some hail damage about 3 or 4 years ago. Got a contractor, somebody I knew, who's gone bad. Let's just say he's gone bad. And his contract was pay him up front all money from the insurance company.
Red flag.
Are you sure you're not telling the story of my life?
Red flag.
Well, we agreed to pay all money from the insurance company. You know how sometimes they'll jiggle the insurance payments and do all the work that's supposed to be done.
Yep.
So he was a very skilled contractor in the past. And very trustworthy in the past, but I think his business has gone down. Anyway, we paid him about $100,000. And
whoa! You paid him $100,000.
This is a roof. Is this a slate roof?
It wasn't just the roof. There was all kinds of other damage. He was very skilled at getting the insurance company to pay money. So the replacement roof was about $40,000.
Yeah.
So it's an expensive house. So. Anyway,
Gary, I need to speak up just a little bit.
The crazy thing about this is that we actually got an attorney. He did replace the roof that he contracted out. It was about $45,000 to replace the roof. That was all fine and well. But the other repairs that he was supposed to make have not been done. We got an attorney. He's been pursuing this guy. He's extremely hard to serve. My real question is, if we can't get him served and can't get him to come to the court. Isn't this a felony of stealing money? And shouldn't I just go to the state prosecuting attorney and file a claim that this guy has stole my money and didn't do the work?
No, it's not a felony yet officially, but Scott, go ahead.
Well, it depends on the word scienter, or what you would say intent.
I was just thinking that word.
Scienter?
Yes, scienter.
It's very difficult to show intent on a bad contractor case. If they did the work and it was negligently done, or if it was sort of half hind end done, it's not intentionally done, so it's not fraud. But if you're going to file suit against this person, has your lawyer created a petition, a lawsuit with which to file suit against him or to
yep.
serve him? Okay. Is there a fraud count in your petition?
No, there's
really hard to go to the prosecutor and say, I think he frauded me, when your civil suit doesn't have a fraud count in it. So it's going to be difficult. But what's wrong with talking to a detective in Frontenac and say, here's my situation. Maybe other people have had the similar situation, and he did intentionally do it. So talk to a detective. There's nothing wrong with telling the facts. Their job is to investigate and to look at cases. Was it more than a year or two ago? How long ago was it?
Yes.
How long ago?
3+.
Statute of limitations, even on a fraud, felony fraud, is like 2 years.
Ooh.
If it's not discovered, if it's concealed, I think it has to be. It's like 5 years from the day that it or something. The day that it's discovered. So if you believe from the opening that he disappeared and was frauding you, I think your statute's run. But what's the harm of talking to a detective if that's what you believe? So you're not smearing him by saying, here's what the facts are. Is there something here? My guess is they're going to politely, because they're Frontenac, say, sorry, nice resident, but This is not fraud. You need to file suit, which you've already started to do. And without a fraud count in your petition, what a great tool his criminal defense lawyer would have if they did issue charges against him and go, well, not only does Gary not really believe this is fraud, he sued me and didn't even say it was fraud. So if your petition doesn't say fraud, and I'm not trying to tell your lawyer or you what to do, then you're going to have a very difficult time saying, oh, yeah, by the way, it's fraud.
What else would the lawsuit be for?
The lawsuit would be for breach of contract.
Okay.
The lawsuit would be for the, correct me if I'm wrong, the violation of the Missouri Merchandise Practices Act. He held himself out as some kind of a services person, and he really is, you know, says, well, I'm really skilled, and he's really not. And then there's some other statutory or common law things, but mainly it would be maybe conversion. He took Gary's money and he kept it for himself, which is kind of stealing, sort of the civil version of stealing.
But you know, here's what I don't understand.
And he ruined his property.
He had done work for you before, right?
Right. Many, like 10 years ago, and he was very trustworthy.
He was trustworthy, and so were you. You paid him. I don't understand the pay me all up front thing. That's a red flag. The guy's in trouble because he knows you. Well, he worked for you before.
and usually what will happen is insurance adjusters that get into these high-dollar claims for homeowners' claims, they'll be the ones that dole out the money to the contractor, and the person that's the claimant stays out of it. It's not usual that they'll write a check, hand it over. They do it. They do a lot in car cases, but for homeowners' cases, a lot of these adjusters want control, not over who the contractor is, but over where the money goes to make sure it's done. In the end, what do adjusters want? They want releases from the claimants. So Gary got the money, they signed the release, the insurance company's done with it, it's up to Gary, it's Gary's problem. You know, we all need a crystal ball when it comes to these kinds of things, especially me.
Can I amend my petition already?
The rule is this, and your lawyer's going to be like, why is this jerk radio lawyer telling my client these things? I don't know your lawyer. I'll say this. Here's the rule. You are allowed to amend your petition freely before service, but why do that? The most important thing here right now is you don't even have a case yet. Until you have service on this defendant, and I don't know if he's a corporate defendant, if he's a DBA.
No.
I don't know how he does business.
Yeah.
But until you have service on this individual, the court doesn't have jurisdiction. But be careful, because if this goes on from the filing date for like 6 months, the court's going to want you to dismiss your case and maybe refile it. So instead of amending a petition that really isn't a case, you don't have a hook in the fish's mouth yet. Go catch the fish. And then let your lawyer amend as they need. And it's very freely done, this amendment stuff. So talk to your lawyer, see how the process service stuff has gone. Maybe mention a guy named Tim Woodburn. He's pretty good at process service stuff. Maybe he could find the guy.
Is he really good? I know he's
sitting right here. Of course he's really good.
If I don't serve him, I don't charge you.
Well, I know, but we've gone through 3 process servers, and this guy is very...
Did they charge you?
No.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm sure you are in very good hands with your lawyer, and your lawyer probably said this. Let's say we get him. Let's say we serve him. Let's say he doesn't show up. He does show up. We go to trial. We don't go to trial. And we get a judgment against him. What's he probably going to do?
File bankruptcy.
Boy, where's the ding?
Is it illegal? Let's say you're trying to serve somebody.
But not on fraud.
And they're evasive. You can't find...
Yeah.
Is it illegal?
Fraud is a felony.
Okay, is it illegal... Call it a sting, entrapment, whatever. But let's say this guy obviously will take on work. He wants to check in advance. Set up a bogus...
I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Set up a bogus handyman job, a roof job or something. So I'll come by, I want to talk to you. I'll pay you up front, and he shows up, serve
it. So great. Do you have time for like 2 minutes or...
I don't know. We got a lot of people waiting. We have people waiting here.
I did that. Do you want to hear the story?
I would accept. Save it. If we get a hole and no call.
I did exactly what you said, and it worked beautifully.
I'll tell you when
you have time.
Okay. Well, that's my idea. That's what I think I would do.
Oh, it's a brilliant idea. You're exactly right.
Okay.
But get the hook in the fish's mouth, Gary.
Okay.
And then worry about amending this, because the court has no jurisdiction over this. And when I said fraud, I mean a civil fraud count. That is not dischargeable in bankruptcy. Neither, just for you drunk drivers out there, are damages caused by people that are intoxicated by alcohol. So you can't file bankruptcy if you get drunk and you kill a family you're going to own that and eat that for the rest of your life. Another reason not to drink.
We got
to
jump. Gary.
For good reason.
I hope that helps you. If you need Scott, do you have his email address in case you want to shoot him a note?
Law offices of Scott.
No. Not plural. Law office singular of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Gary.
His fancy Frontenac lawyers are going to be mad at me.
All right, now we go. Thank you. Boy, these people have been holding along. Matt, you've been very patient. We appreciate it. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Matt.
I'm in the PM.
Thank you.
Good. Hey, real quick, you had a guy call last week, and his uncle or his dad died or something, and he was
the estate, a checking account.
Bank account.
Yeah.
What could happen to him if he was using those, doing the electronic banking still?
Well, it's bank fraud. He didn't have authority. He was not a co-signer, or he was not a co-owner of the account. And so even though his uncle or whoever it was would have loved him to do that when he was alive, all that power went away when the man passed away.
So even if it was in writing, it went away.
Powers of attorney expire when the people expire.
Because it was on the wrong piece of paper, basically.
The paper's as good as the life of the person. But
okay,
so there was no authority.
Basically, your power of attorney is while I'm alive.
That's right.
I give you permission to do this for me, but not after you're dead.
Right. I mean, otherwise, I could, Abraham Lincoln might have had a power of attorney. We can, dig him up and say, well, he really wanted to stay in my living room and give me all his, the original copy of the Gettysburg Address.
That's probably not what Matt wanted to hear. But
I'm sorry to hear
that. That's the answer.
Okay. All right. I was just wondering what.
Oh, it's a great question because it needs clarity.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
Right. Yep. Thank you.
All right. Two lines open and enough time to get another couple, three people in. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Tom, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott.
Hi,
guys.
Tom.
AM and PM.
Thank you.
I have a son that got in a little bit of trouble here a couple of 3 years ago, and he has a misdemeanor on his record. And when we talked to the state's attorney at that time, he said he could go back in a couple of years and get it expunged. What is the process to get that done?
Yeah, guys, a couple of questions. How old is your son?
He's 24 now.
So when this happened, you said a couple of years ago, he was well over 18.
Yeah, he would have been 20 or 21.
Okay, can I ask just sort of what was it he did?
Well, he was working someplace, and he took something that he shouldn't have.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the employer and took him with me, and we made everything right, but there were still charges filed because he waited too long to let me know what was going on.
Okay. And, well, it's none of my business when a grown man had his dad go with him. That's not my business.
He didn't have his dad go with him. His dad went with him. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. He had no choice. Okay.
He had no choice.
Okay. Scott, you can have this.
Some of the nomenclature tells me this is an Illinois case, because you said state's attorney.
It is.
Illinois is much more, let's say, lenient when it comes to expungements. I've got to check the expungement statute to make sure that something like either a stealing or a larceny, or I don't know what he pled to. And I also don't know if it was a conviction or he was put on bench supervised probation or bench supervision, court supervision.
And I really don't remember either.
This now is his responsibility. We agree? But your question was, what's the process? Give me an email. I will find you. I know people that do expungements in Illinois. What county was that case?
Montgomery.
Montgomery County. Pretty conservative place. But you know what? They have a heart there, too. We'll look into it. If it's an expungible offense, charge a reasonable fee. If it's not an expungible offense, we'll charge you nothing. And I wish the state's attorney hadn't said, don't worry about it being expunged, because usually that's possession of marijuana or, you know, sort of like public intoxication, something like that, or DWI. This is a little closer to an intentional crime, but let's look at it and see. If it's expungible, money. If not, life lesson.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds good. I will do that.
All right, Tom. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's always tempting to... I'm real curious as to why this kid's 24 years old. Why dad has to step? You know, and again, I don't know them, so, but that's always interesting to me.
If we threw different factors in, we could bury that kid, or we could really be proud of that kid.
Right. And we don't know all the facts.
Apparently, based on what we got here from Tom, I don't think he would step up for his son unless the kid really turned himself around. Doesn't seem like that kind
of
guy.
But would the son have gone and made it right with the guy he stole from if daddy hadn't said, we're going to go make this right? That's my question.
No, because I don't think at that point that kid was the kind of mature person that he's maybe become.
Okay.
I don't think Tom seems like the guy who's an enabler, I think, but he did want to make sure that the victim heard from his family that their name was important to not be drug in the mud. So we'll see. In a couple of years later, he's back helping his kids.
We have a line open because Tom was his name?
Yep.
Taken care of. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Kevin, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott, AM and PM.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hey, real quick scenario. My son lives in Colorado, been living out there a year and a half. Before he moved to Colorado, he traded his old Ford Fusion off at a car dealership in St. Louis area, bought a new car from them, a new Ford Fusion. They did not give him his plate back. They said, we're going to destroy the plate for you. Roll the clock forward. 2 days ago, he got a notice from Hannibal Police Department for a court summons to go to court because of an unpaid parking ticket. So he got in touch with the prosecutor up in Hannibal area. She walked him through what to do as far as proof that he's got a car registered in the state of Colorado, and proof that he was at his job March 16th of 2019. He's been living out there, like I said, a year and a half. So basically what the prosecutor said was, you're the victim of several people that didn't do the right thing. But what our question is how could a car dealer sell a car with an existing plate on it like that?
They may not have sold the car with the plate on it. Somebody working there probably confiscated the plates, and that's how the plate got out of there. Not on a car, but somebody there saw an opportunity to grab some plates and stick it on a car. I don't think it was on a car that was sold. I don't think any dealer would be stupid enough to do that.
Yes, it was, because he questioned the Hannibal Police Department, well, what kind of car was it on? It was still on the car that he used to own.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant they put it on another car and sold it.
No. They didn't even take the plates off.
Well, that's a stupid thing for a dealer to do, to sell a car to somebody with the other person's plates on it. Scott, you can have this one. That's stupid. That dealership is stupid,
and those plates belong to the owner. Of the
big plates. Lesson here is never give anybody your plates.
No,
I'll take them.
Yeah, I'll take them with
exactly.
me. I'll destroy them. Right. I'll do whatever. But good on the Hannibal prosecuting attorney's office. I've had some dealings with them. They are very professional. They're very easy to work with. They don't out of town you. And I'm glad your son didn't have to hire a lawyer and spend $500 or $600 to get that done. And good for that prosecutor there. And good for your son. Following through.
Has the dealer committed a crime of any sort? I would think there's got to be something.
That's what my question is.
Here's the follow-up. I would call the DOR in Jeff City And I would tell that story to the head of the driver's license office and say, why is it that the plates off of the vehicle that I traded in, that I really sold to them, why they were not only kept by this dealer, but they were also transferred to another buyer, but kept in my name.
See, no matter what happened here, it's still on the dealer. Let's say the dealer took the plates off, and somebody that worked there just tossed them in the trunk of the car. All right, the new owner gets the car, goes, "Hey, there's plates here. Let's put them on here." So they may not have put them on, but either way, it's negligent on the part of the dealer, and there's got to be a way that dealer could be cited or something.
Look at the crimes that are committed with stolen or mismatched plates. Murders, robberies, bank robberies. What happened if the FBI would come in with helicopters and at gunpoint and come and take in and Kevin's son is hauled into federal court?
Or what if somebody had an out for Kevin's son and went and shot up the car they thought was his because of the plates that were on it and killed some innocent people? There's a lot of things that could have happened. This dealership, I absolutely think there's got to be a way they could be cited or fined or flagged or something. That you don't do that.
That storyline.
I always take my place with it. I don't give my place
to anybody. That storyline belongs on the third season of Ozark.
Yeah, could be.
Well, the bottom line is he did call the dealership finally last night, and they were rather flippant about it and tried to question him, "Are you sure this isn't a scam, that they're just trying to get your money up in Hannibal?" He said, "No, sir, I've checked into that. The prosecuting attorney told me everything. You know, it was on my car. You guys are negligent."
Call DOR in Jeff City if you have time.
Okay.
Or have him do it and tell the story to the people that work in the license office or the plates, the registration department. 573-751-2100, something like that.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right.
Listen to you all the time, Frank.
Thank
I love you, man.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. Well, that's a new one. That's a new one. I mean, we get some of his trees in my yard, and it's
here's another
dropping leaves. And
how about these tow yards when they tow a car? Or a car gets repossessed, and they won't give the plates back to the person. They keep them, or something happens to them, and they won't let you either have your plates or your personal belongings. This plates thing is extremely dangerous for to get out of the hands of the owner. And the owner, the responsible party of those plates and what they represent, those numbers, is the person to whom they are registered. And they should not be in the possession of places like car dealerships, tow yards, any other kind of place. They don't belong to them, and they should be given back to the owner. And if they won't do it, insist on having the police call them.
This is a big deal, too, because Missouri has new plates this year. They redesigned the plates. So instead of just getting the sticker, this year now you have to get new plates. I just did this, so I kept my old plates. And they said at the Department of Revenue office, they said, you can give us the plates. I said, no, that's okay. I'll take them. But I would have felt bad giving them to the Department of Revenue. They're going to destroy them. They're not going to.
They are the custodian of that kind of stuff. But these other places are not, and you should insist on getting them back. And when you sell a private party, take the plates. They don't have a plate. Well, they have paper tags. You can print off temp tags on private party sales. They're right on the Department of Revenue's website, and they got a pretty good website.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know you get a temp tag online.
Well, if you're selling a car.
See, I didn't know that.
You can give a temp tag to that person.
I learned that too the first time today.
Then someone will call and say I'm wrong.
Chuck is next. Chuck, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman. Hi, Frank. I am in the PM.
Thank you, Chuck.
I live down the country on a farm. Been here for a while, and all the chemicals. I got the cancer, and so I want to get a medical card, marijuana card, and because I don't want opioids, and I just want to know, does HIPAA protect me? Who do they share? Who can the state share that card with?
I
give it to the feds. And
no,
all that stuff?
I don't think so at all. I'm not an expert on it, but I don't think so. I think that's all confidential stuff. You have it, and if anybody knows you have it, because you told them you do, Scott.
I'm not as well versed with the ins and outs of Missouri's medical marijuana law because it's new, but my understanding is that for gun owners, there is a restriction I believe. But for the HIPAA protections, they can't just give it to whomever.
HIPAA only applies to doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners, healthcare people. HIPAA does not apply.
Healthcare here. Providers.
Yeah, they're not healthcare providers. They're dispensaries. So they don't fall into the HIPAA.
You know, I live on a farm. Yeah. I've got a bunch of guns.
Yeah, well,
there's no state law against it. That's a federal law.
The state law for medical marijuana, well, and this is the tricky part.
They hid something in there.
Go look it up about, is he in Illinois, did you say?
No, he's Missouri.
Yeah, okay, Missouri. Sure. There's something in there, and this stunned me when we learned it and talked about it on the show, because I'm a gun guy. There's something in there. If you get a medical marijuana card, I don't have it in front of me. Cannot.
I think you're wrong.
You think I'm wrong?
I don't think it's in the state. I think it's federal.
Federally, it's flat out wrong. Federally, all sales of marijuana, recreational or medical, are wrong. But the state, this is a Missouri thing, this gun thing.
This might be a check for Chuck. When they passed the medical marijuana legislation, I believe they had some form of restriction, and I don't know exactly what it is.
Oh, it's in there.
On firearm possession.
And it's wrong and
sneaky.
Not that
you couldn't have firearms.
But
some possession of it somewhere, like a concealed carry kind of deal.
You
got
to jump through some extra hoops now because you have a medical marijuana card.
Now, I hate what they do up in Jeff City, and most of what they do is not just wrong but stupid. So if that is true, it's not our fault. So what we want to do is not give you the wrong information. We want to give you the right information. But at that point,
Will you do me a favor, Scott? This is a homework assignment for next week.
Yes.
Will you look into this?
This is absolutely important. And Chuck, if you'll give us a week, we'll give you.
Okay.
We'll get you.
Scott knows. I hope I have a week. Scott knows what I'm talking about here because he's familiar with it. There is something buried in that medical marijuana thing in Missouri for gun owners that's anti-gun owner. There is.
Yes,
and I don't know exactly.
Just
I don't have it from.
Just because I got cancer doesn't mean they can take away my gun.
Look, by the time that
no, they can't take it. It's not about taking it away. It's about future purchases.
The Kansas City Star reported that according to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, Missouri residents can't legally have a license for medical marijuana and possess a firearm at the same time. I believe you can still own a gun. You just can't possess it.
You can't carry it. You can't smoke weed with your gun in your hand, but you're on a farm and no one will catch you.
It's worse than that. You can't even carry a firearm, period, if you have a medical marijuana card.
That is BS. That's BS.
Wrong there. You guys do your homework.
I'm reading off the Kansas City Star.
Tim, calm down.
Believe them. Here's what I know. That the federal law says you can't habitually use marijuana and have a gun.
You're confusing. Okay? Hold on. The federal law says you can't have marijuana, period. It is federally wrong for the sale of...
I understand that, but I'm telling you the language in the feds.
Okay, but we're talking about the state of...
You can't be a habitual user, Chuck, and have a gun.
Chuck, we're talking about the state law, Missouri, and medical marijuana in Missouri. Forget the feds. The feds don't want you to have it anyway.
If the state doesn't tell the feds, I'm okay.
No, I'm telling you.
Look at it.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I've read them backwards and forwards. There's no mention of firearms.
Yes, well, there is. And Scott will look into it. Stay tuned for next week, okay?
Okay, buddy, I'll be listening.
Give us a week.
Sorry you got cancer. I really am, but this is not fair. It's not fair what they've done, but it's in there.
It's right, dumb, and it's not science. It's dumb.
And you know...
But that's probably what they had to do.
For a guy to say, I don't believe what the Kansas City... Well, they're not going to print it without reading it. The source
is the ATF, but the source didn't say anything but Missouri residents. Illinois residents, smoke away. And if you have cancer, smoke away. No one's going to prosecute
you. No, I was shocked.
But we don't want to give people the wrong information when the right information is...
But if a listener had not called that to my attention, I had no idea that was in there for gun owners.
That's right.
That it restricts you. I don't know to what degree, but there is some restriction in there if you're a gun owner and you get a medical mark. We're out of time. So thank you. We've done it again. Will you first order business next Thursday? Come in with that information.
I will someday tell the story about how I got that.
We'll make a note to do that too. We'll do that right away next year. All right, Scott Sherman, everybody.
Thank you. Happy anniversary.
One more time, give them your email address.
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
And for you folks just now calling, lesson learned. Next week, you call right away. You get on it early and get in early, and we'll get you on here. All right, wow. Chris, if you're listening, stay there because Flyd Lice is coming up, The Joke in the Playhouse. Because it's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Doug Vaughn. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe is suing the FBI and Department of Justice over his firing. He was fired 24 hours before his planned retirement. In his lawsuit, McCabe argues that his termination was politically motivated and retaliatory. More than 350 migrants are free for now after massive raids in Mississippi this week.
CNN says they were released by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Some are expected to face proceedings in federal immigration courts. About 680 migrants were rounded up at several food processing plants across Mississippi. Targeted companies include Petco Foods and poultry producer Koch Foods. Tom Roberts, NBC News Radio.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine said a statewide summit will take place to address issues surrounding mental health. DeWine said today he's planning to increase the home visiting program to provide more mental health